Welcome to the Systemic Sclerosis edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the SSC community.
Hello, and welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is your host, Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent with Rare Disease Advisor. Our guest today is Dr. Yen Chen, who's originally from Taiwan and currently a Research Assistant Professor in the Department of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor. Dr. Chen was previously at the University of Texas, Austin, where she received her PhD in health behavior and health education. Our subject today is cognitive dysfunction, also known as brain fog, among people with scleroderma. Dr. Chen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So this is a fascinating topic, one which we have not previously addressed in our coverage of scleroderma, which is, of course, also known as systemic sclerosis. Why is this important?
Because from our research, we always hear about patients complaining about brain fog in their daily life, which really affecting their work, their social relationship, their daily life functioning. So that's why when we first started, we wanted to gather a lot of experiences from the patient. So we first conducted a focus group. So that's why we keep hearing how patients describe the brain fog and then how this is so bothersome in their daily life. So later on, we did a survey, online survey among over 100 patients and to see if there's such an experience experiencing brain fog among the patient with scleroderma. And then we found out over, 60% among the patients, they do experience brain fog in their daily life. So that's why it's really important to address and to help them to get better quality of life and also daily life.
I just want to point out to our listeners that Dr. Chen presented recently at the American College of Rheumatology's 2025 ACR Convergence in Chicago. And during that presentation, a study was cited that showed the mean age of patients with scleroderma is 45. In the study, 88% were female, 81% white, 13% black, 3% Asian. Are those numbers representative of scleroderma patients in general?
Yes. So based on our, it's really representable compared to our previous trial. It is mostly, again, mostly women and also mostly white. But then again, we really wanted to try to be more diverse in our patient population, so we will be more representative. So we will work on data to try to recruit more male, more minority risk ethnicity people. So, yes.
And also, you said it in your presentation that 56 to 87% of people with scleroderma experience brain fog, which often affects memory and executive function. Could you give our listeners an idea of how widespread scleroderma is to begin with as a rare disease?
First of all, I wanted to point out why is there such a wide range from 56% to 86% is because every study using different type of measurement for cognitive dysfunction. So based on different measures, there's like different percentage. That's why. But then again, the point here is which scleroderma, I mean, the patient with scleroderma really do experience brain fog. It's over half of them experience brain fog. And then the reason we wanted to say the underlying cause of brain fog is really due to multiple causes, right? So like I mentioned at the presentation, it is multifactorial. We have to consider physical symptoms, also psychological symptoms and medications, right? And also even the environmental factors that are really going to contribute brain fog in daily life. So we can start with like physical symptoms like this poor sleep quality. As I also mentioned at the talk, like a patient, they normally couldn't really get a good night's sleep due to pain, right? Due to GI symptoms like reflux. And also their skin hardening, their itchiness at night, they couldn't really sleep well. And then the other thing is fatigue. Fatigue is such a huge, really bothersome symptoms among them. I wanted to say up to 80% of patients, they experience fatigue. Even after, even after the great night's sleep, they still wake up tired, feeling tired, exhausted, right? So it's really bad.
How many people in the United States have scleroderma at any given time?
It's about 300,000.
Okay, so I want to talk about brain fog and how it affects patients in their daily lives. And you mentioned poor sleep quality, gastrointestinal symptoms, fatigue, inflammation. Some of the other things you talked about were shortness of breath because not enough oxygen is going to the brain, malnutrition, difficulty swallowing, and then depressive symptoms, anxiety, chronic stress, and of course, the medications they're taking.
Right. So those are really our key contributors to brain fog among patients with scleroderma. So the other thing you haven't mentioned is the environmental factors. It's really hard for them to stay focused and also paying attention like right away. So if there's someone like interrupt their conversations, and then it's really hard for them to bring back their memory to whatever they're trying to say. And also the background noises, like I know, like if there's like phone notifications or email notifications, and it's really bother them. And then they also describe in one of my studies, and they say if they are in the crowded, really noisy restaurants, they couldn't even pay attention to a menu. They couldn't even decide what they were trying to eat. So it's really? Affecting their daily life functioning.
So is the implication that people with scleroderma are more likely to develop dementia, or is it the other way around?
Okay, so here's the thing. We don't know yet because we haven't run the longitudinal studies with this. But again, there's a study. It says if people with scleroderma, they are highly risk of develop dementia in later life. But then we don't know if we are not sure yet. Yeah.
Even patients with very mild symptoms?
That's a good question. I feel like the more severe symptoms in scleroderma, they are more likely to, first of all, experience brain fog and then maybe higher risk of developing dementia in later life.
Are there any other factors that might play into this, such as lifestyle, smoking, drinking, drugs, exercise, or lack thereof?
Yes, definitely. So lifestyle, of course, first of all, smoking is a no-no. We definitely encourage this. Stop smoking, right? That's good. It's a lot of like overwhelming research says smoking is really going to contribute to not just brain fog, it's all the cancer, all type of different cancers.
But specifically
right?
In this disease, smoking is a factor in brain fog, you're saying?
It will be, but then we haven't really looked at a smoker versus non-smoker in brain fog, but then we do look at a smoker and non-smoker for lung cancers in scleroderma. So there's, of course, it's a risk factors for lung cancer in scleroderma. Of course, lifestyle, and also if you have a better sleep hygiene, then you will likely to have less likely to have a brain fog. Also, exercise. Is medicine, right? So exercise, we encourage, even in our Brain Boost program, we strongly encourage a patient to move more. We don't want it. Okay, so of course, due to physical limitation, it's really impossible for them to, run a half mile every day. That's impossible. We always just encourage them to start small, right? To set up goals and start small and then small steps. And then sometimes we even just encourage them to walk around in their household or to grab a mail and then just to move 15 minutes like every other hours, right?
Okay, I want to move on to another subject you mentioned just now, which is the Brain Boost program and other things that patients can do to increase their cognitive function and decrease the likelihood of brain fog in the future.
Right. So I wanted to highlight our Brain Boost program. We adapted from another program. It's called MAPS, right? So the MAPS program is for originally for multiple sclerosis patients. And then also right now they expanded to diabetes and also cancer survivors. So we collaborate with the group of researchers also from University of Texas at Austin. So we asked them if they would want us to adapt it into for our scleroderma patients, and they agreed. So then we take all the program materials and then we co-design and co-develop with our patient partners. And so then we figure out it will be more feasible if we do it online, because original program, they did it in person. They have to meet in person every week for 8 weeks. And as we figure it's impossible for scleroderma patient due to the rare disease, and also their physical limitations, it's really not that easy for them to just drive all the way from whatever, wherever they live and come to our medical center. So we adapted and into like fully online program. And then the other reason, really key highlight, is we co-facilitated with a patient partner to make the program more relatable, more, I wanted to say, just kind of like encouraging them to see, hey, there's someone who's been through the same journey as you, and then this is works for them, and it might work for you too. So this is really just kind of like emotional support. We have a patient partner join our program and to tell them the message, right? There's a hope there.
And how often do they meet?
Once a week.
You have mentioned something about 8 weekly online educational sessions, brain games, practice at home 5 days a week for about 20 minutes per day.
Right. So it's part of the program. So everyone meet online once a week. And then half of the time I give a lecture on how brain fog affects you and how whatever strategies you could do to help you in your daily life. And half of the time we have the patient facilitator to lead a discussion and to share the strategies they have used and what works, what not, what didn't work for them. And also their experiences playing games. So the online games here is after the class, they play online games themselves at their home, 20 minutes per day, 5 days a week.
How many people do you have participating right now in this program?
So far we have 41 participants, but half of them are in the Brain Boost program, half of them are in the control group program. And then we are going to recruit up to 66 participants.
We have about 1 minute left. Any final thoughts here?
I wanted to give a patient hope. Like you say, there's no magic pills for treating brain fog, but there are still practical tools, strategies they could use in their daily life to help them improve their memory, attention, and focus. And that's just a hope, a message for them.
Thank you for offering that. It's been a very important topic for the people who follow this disease. We appreciate that. We've been speaking with Dr. Yan Chen, who is a research assistant professor at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. We thank you so much for talking with us today. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.